Hello, and welcome back to Moahi, a Dream S&P podcast. This is episode 52, and today we'll be discussing the recent family drama on the Dream S&P. As always, we refer to the characters by name and specify when we're talking about the writers. Hey, we're back.
We're back!
There's just two of us today, and it is kind of late for me, so we'll just be doing a short episode, about half an hour instead of an hour.
Yep.
But we do have some stuff to talk about. There was lore.
Right after we recorded.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through this real quick. So we're mainly going to talk about Fundy's lore, but I just want to mention real quick that there was some stuff, like more like lighthearted lore. It was like Quackity having a son.
Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot about that.
Son.
I watched it. Okay.
With like Village and Sam and stuff.
This is so funny because I didn't watch the Fundy lore because I was very busy at the time. And then I watched the Quackity lore and I was amazing, man.
And then a while ago, I think it was after all that happened, Quackity actually tweeted out the word lore, so he might be planning to do something, but currently he's locked out of his Minecraft account, so
yep.
Who knows? Maybe he's already recorded some stuff and he just needs to edit it all together or something. That could be the case.
Or it could just be his new character, Errol.
Yeah, Carl actually mentioned wanting to create a new separate character, and also Carl mentioned wanting to do another Tales episode soon, probably over the summer.
Soon.
I think that's all the other bits of lore stuff that has happened recently. So, Fundy lore. Mm-hmm. Alright, so I've got the recap. I watched this, Snowy didn't, so. Right, so it was Wilbur's stream called Into Pogtopia. I think he changed the name after, but it's like the one at the start. So Eric told him that he could find Nikki in Pogtopia and he wants to go apologize to her, so he goes there, except he finds Fundy there instead, because Eric lied to him.
I just find it really funny how it's like, oh, you were looking for Nikki? Here's Fundy, who you really need to talk to, but you seem to be avoiding him for some reason, so I'm gonna force a meeting between you two.
Basically, then they kind of start arguing, Fundy gets annoyed at the fact that he talked to Phil, but not him, and mentions that he joined Las Nevadas, which Wilbur is a bit angry about.
Wilbur.
Then Wilbur suggests to father-son bonding fishing, which Fundy agrees to. They head towards the community house. Wilbur says that the last thing they did together was building walls, and then says the dream is chill now. They do fishing, they catch cod, then Wilbur catches a salmon, and they decide to stop fishing. They play catch. Wilbur mentions a memory he has from Ghostbur, and says that he remembers good things from Ghostbur. He also mentions a holiday with Tommy. Mm-hmm.
Which,
it's kind of interesting because Wilbur hasn't been like entirely consistent with what he's
I want
said
to put
he remembers.
Want to just interject and say, well, actually, this is also part of Apple's rant about how Wilbur just does not seem to know what his character knows.
I think a lot of it, no, the way I interpreted it is like that character Wilbur is pretending to know more than he does based on what other people are saying. Like, he probably does not remember the bad parts of Exile, but from how Tommy was talking about it, he knew it was bad, so he reacted as if he knew that.
Because he thinks it's probably what Tommy would want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes
and probably
a lot of sense.
Because he does want to give the impression that he remembers all of it. So that people don't try to like lie to him about what happened.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's the case, because otherwise it's just Wilbur's character.
And that kind of
like, is
makes sense of the inconsistencies.
Yeah. There's like
and stuff like saying like he read stuff in books, and then other times saying that he remembers things.
You have perfectly reasonable explanations, but then you go, "Oh, I read it in a book that doesn't exist that we'll never see or mention or hear again." Like what? What?
Yeah, so I think he, my personal interpretation of it is that he only remembers the good memories from Ghost Whisperer, but he uses the actions and, like, reactions of others to try and guess what the rest of it was.
Yeah. I just, that feels better than just Wilbur, his character's consistent, his knowledge isn't consistent, and that bothers me a lot.
Okay, so then, Fundy and Wilbur start talking about Fundy's childhood. Wilbur says Baby Fundy hated everyone and loved planes, and then Fundy says that Wilbur forced him to eat on the ground at all fours, which Wilbur says he does not remember. He said it was a long time ago, and Fundy is 26 or 27 now, and Fundy says he's 22. Wilbur says time goes by quicker when you're dead. Fundy asks if that's why he has a white streak of hair. Wilbur says it's different. They stop on the bridge to talk. Wilbur says having a family was great. Fundy says until it wasn't. He says Wilbur was there until he just left without a note. Fundy says he was part of everything, but he wasn't cared about. He says he'll join something hoping they'll care, and then it will fall apart and they'll leave him.
Which, yeah, that's... It happened with Lamanberg, it happened with Manberg, it happened with new Lamanberg. He was... Fundy was there for all of it, but nobody remembers him.
He says he was always there and no one cared. Wilbur says he cared and apologizes, saying he shouldn't have forced Fundy to do everything in search of family. Wilbur says he's happy that Fundy found something in Las Nomadas. Fundy says he appreciates that Wilbur, Wilbur's grown up. They fist bump. Fundy says he doesn't forgive Wilbur, but that he's glad Wilbur accepts that he fucked up, but he isn't okay with Wilbur and doesn't want to see him ever. Fundy says he moved away from everything because he knew Wilbur would be back. Wilbur says that isn't self-help, it's just harmful. Fundy tells Wilbur he doesn't want to see him and asks him to leave. Wilbur tells Fundy see you around, then walks away, and Fundy jumps off the bridge and dies. And by the way, for anyone listening, that was from Unbiased Lore, which is a Twitter recap account. They are very good, check them out if you ever want to get a recap of lore.
If you can't find one for fun to finding joy.
Mm-hmm.
So the part where he catches his salmon. I'm sorry.
It's still canon.
It's still canon. I don't know if I want to apologize, but cursed lore is still canon, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have this... I have this little thing where I want to try and uncurse the lore. Because Fundy's tried to explain the reason why he's older when he was young is because he's like a phoenix that got reborn or something. And I feel like an explanation for this would be one night Wilbur got really drunk and fucked up a salmon. Then on his way home, he ran over Fundy camera van, he got out, walked over, stubbed his toe, stubbed his big toe on something, that made it swell, and then he looks at his big toe, and he looks at Fundy, who just got killed and reborn, like a phoenix, into a baby fox, and he thinks, it's like, oh, this must be my asexual, one-night stand love child from the salmon I just fucked earlier. And takes him home. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Cursed Lore is cursed. Now on to Quackity Lore.
You handle this one.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually really funny because first we get... during the daytime, DSMP plays lore where it's a tragic, dramatic re-encounter between estranged father and son that ends dramatically and a bit depressingly, but also just very, very dramatically. Like, I'm sorry, but killing yourself to get out of a conversation to make a point is kind of... There's a thing here and I don't know what it is, but yeah. But after entering the nighttime, DSMP lore becomes totally legitimate son of dead giant casino business owner attempts to legitimize his birth in a court lawyer case, and then people die. I think stuff happened. A lot of things happened. It was like a week ago now. almost do go now. But it's just, there's a lot of shit happened during that stream, and it was just, so as you guys might know, Quackity's actually been banned from his own account. He's been logged out of his own account
and
hasn't been able to like get back in, and I think there was like a 30-day wait or something. So he's logged in. Was it Kyle HQ? Was that his?
I think so. Honestly, I didn't watch it. But yeah. Talk about it.
Fair enough. Now, yeah, so on the Dream SMP, and I think Foolish was streaming. While Foolish was streaming, they're in call together talking about how Quackity's been banned from the Dream SMP. And then Quackity gets a second account called Kyle HQ. And Dream lets, because Dream's in the chat, Dream lets him into the SMP. And Kyle HQ starts going around and saying, I missed the first part, but I think Kyle got married to Foolish for tax benefits. And then Kyle starts going around saying, okay, so my father, I am totally the legitimate son of Quackity, and my father is now dead. And Kyle is like older than Quackity. Curse the worst cursed. But so they're wandering around and goes to see Las Nevadas, and
actually wait, no, doesn't Quackity actually have a thing where he's like super old because he spent like 30 years in juvie?
Huh?
The age is in duck years.
I mean, in duck years he's like 80 something.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing where it's like his 87th birthday or something.
Yeah, the casino opening, and it never opened. yeah, I think he has like I think he's old in like duck. It's whatever, however old he is in real life in duck years is his age, I think, on the Dream SMP. That's how people sort of figured out the whole 87 years old thing. In the posters in the casino. Yeah, apparently, but I think Kyle said he was older than. I don't remember anything about that first part. I barely remember anything afterwards. So don't take my word for it. Go watch the stream yourself. It's on Foolish streams. It's very funny. Tina's also there, and so I think, and Sam is as well. And I think we learned from Kyle or someone that Quackity has died. And Kyle has never seen his father. And one of the bits is he walks up to a picture of Quackity and starts kissing him on the mouth. Why is that the only thing I remember? And Foolish starts freaking out and is like, Kyle, that's your dad! Yeah, they walk around the server a little bit, and I think they head to Las Nevadas? I'm not sure. Eventually, Kyle says, because he is totally the legitimate son of Quackity, that he inherits everything of Quackity's, including Las Nevadas, because he is the son, totally legitimate. And Sam goes like, well, actually, Quackity left everything with me when he died. And Foolish says, like, no, wait, that's not how it works. You can't just claim to be the son of someone and then gain their inheritance. So they go to court. And they actually used, I think it was Tubbo's courthouse in the sky. They went to court and actually, like, did a court thing. Foolish and Tina were like, no, Quackity HQ is not the legitimate son of Quackity and should not inherit everything Quackity owned. And Sam was, I think he was the judge again. And Bad comes in. Bad shows up, and he ends up being Quackity HQ's, not Quackity, Kyle HQ's lawyer, saying that obviously he is totally the legitimate son of Quackity, and therefore should definitely gain the inheritance. And some point in time, I think Kyle HQ started smoking or snorting medicinal cocaine.
Yeah, it's just what quackity lore is like.
This is what quackity lore is like. Quackity lore is like, I love it. It's so great. I think there was another thing he was also eating that wasn't like, that wasn't quote unquote medicinal. But like bad claims that Kyle is taking his prescriptions. Kyle keeps snorting cocaine. Foolish and Tina are yelling at everybody about how like, dude, that's not medicinal. That's just cocaine. And it's a whole mess. At one point in time, blonde Quackity shows up, who claims to be Quackity's ghost, and says that it tries to claim that Kyle HQ is indeed Quackity's legitimate son. Sometime in the middle of this, as it's going on, Tina roasts the shit out of Quackity, and it's great.
I'll have to try and find that.
It's the part where she goes like, "Do you see this man? He had two fiancés and couldn't keep either of them." Something like that. And Quackity tried to defend himself. Hey! And it's just silence afterwards, because he can't. No, that's probably my favorite part of the whole stream, honestly. Tina roasting the shit out of Quackity. The end of the-
Oh god, man, we've talked about all the herbivore.
Yeah. At the end of it all, Sam comes to the decision that Kyle HQ is not Quackity's legitimate son and so does not get the inheritance. And instead that Sam gets all the inheritance from Quackity. and then Foolish realizes, like, he asks Kyle if the marriage is still real, and Kyle's like, "Oh yeah, it's definitely real." Sam is like, "Yeah, it's definitely real." Tina's like, "Yeah, it was definitely real. You're not married to him." And then Foolish realizes, like, "Wait a second, we got married for tax benefits. Why was I arguing against your inheritance? I could have gotten part of Las Nevadas." And they're like, "Yeah, you really could have. You don't know why you were so against him inheriting everything." Eventually, Kyle logs out, and I think they box up the area he was in, and... No, wait, either Kyle logs... Someone dies. Someone jumps off the building and dies. It was not Blonde Quackity, because Blonde Quackity dies from an overdose on whatever the fuck Sam gave him. It was some sort of, like... I think it might have been Weed Nip. Like, favorite part about prison lore. No. So I think... Yeah, I think it might have been...
Oh, wait, the theory that Sam's just growing weed in the prison.
Yeah.
I remember that theory. That's a good theory.
Yep. I think it was... Kyle HQ, who...
Like, he's just doing weed while teams get tortured by Quackity.
Yeah. The courtyard can't go to the courtyard because it's his weed-growing garden. No. I think it was...
He's the one where he gets to save his weed growing up.
Yes. I think it was Kyle who...
He'd be like, "I'm willing to let someone get tortured, but also I'm gonna legalize weed."
Yeah, so I think Kyle filled in and they boxed up the area where he died.
Actually, you know what? I might actually put this meme in, like, one of the promotional ones for this episode.
Ooh.
But, like, the meme is, like, character dream and character, Sam fans are, like, the same hat meme. And now I'm just here wearing so many hats.
same hat. Well, it depends on the flavor of character Sam fans, right?
Yeah. And, like, obviously there's plenty of Character Dream fans that don't like Character Sam.
Yeah.
But then just, like, there's the overlap.
Yep.
Where we're both just, like, looking at them both and going, "You're messed up and I like that."
Basically. I think it was Kyle who died when He just, when he loses, he just jumps off and dies. Or like, I think he digs underneath himself and just falls down and dies. And then, something something boxing up the area he died in. Something something, Blonde Quackity coming out and say like, so yeah, I was a paid actor from, what was those website? Fiverr? I'm a paid actor, who's gonna pay me? And then Sam gives them some sort of drug. And it gets them high. And Sam says like, I gave it to Ant once, and Ant was out for the entire week. That's the reason Ant took a day off during the prison break.
Actually, wait, do you want to talk about the MCC prison lore?
In a second. I think, yeah, so what ends up happening is, Blonde Quackity, they convince Blonde Quackity that Kyle is inside this box, and so Blonde Quackity is just standing in front, like, hey, are you gonna pay me? Are you gonna pay me? Are you gonna pay me? And then sometime later, they drown in the water. End stream. No. But I think that's more or less the end of the whole Oh, I just realized Bad was drinking alcohol the entire time in the background as this was happening. You just hear him chugging as a or whatever the Minecraft sound for water drinking is like. You just hear him chugging alcohol in the background. It is amazing.
Welcome back to the Mellow High Spotlight. This week we'll be focusing on a Dream SMP fanfic writer, Agul from Archive of Our Own. Agul is the writer of multiple fairly length Dream SMP fanfics, usually centering around the Dream Team, the Munchie Crew, Quackity, and Carl. Perhaps their currently most well-known piece of writing is No Rest for the Wicked, an ongoing fantasy drama series that ties in elements of Manhunt, the Dream SMP, as well as an abundance of well-made world-building of Ghoul's own creation. They have mixed up a lot of what we know about a character's backstory from the Dream SMP and then added their own personal twist on it to make a really unique world that has a lot going for it. You can check them out at Agul on Archive of Our Own, which I highly recommend, with either No Rest for the Wicked or one of their other great fanfictions. If you know any fan content creators for the Dream SMP, whether it be an artist, writer, theorist, or some other kind of creation, make sure to let us know by joining our Discord, adding us on Twitter, or leaving a comment in our YouTube section. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the episode!
Now, something else that happened just a few days ago, actually, on MCC practice server, on Tina's stream. We got a prison lore bit from Sam in Dream. And it was like, it was definitely a bit, but it was also like, why was Sam in character so badly? I just kind of want to cry. I think the entirety of, Dribbler Cord just started frothing at the mouth as it was happening. I'm really sad because it was one of Tina's really long 7-hour streams, and I fell asleep to it. so I watched it afterwards, but I didn't get to see it live.
I didn't actually watch it, but I saw some cuts from it, and I think it is, like, great from the perspective of telling us how the content creators see that arc going down, especially since so much of it wasn't seen by the audience.
Go look at the wall.
Finding Joy or someone. He posted like the list of quotes from it.
Yeah. No snackies.
I'm glad it's all clogged up with MCC stuff. I gotta scroll through all the MCC stuff.
No snackies. Only wall and interrogation. He does it in such a serious voice too.
That's hilarious.
Sam pulls out a sword and goes, it's time.
Do you remember who wrote that? Do you remember who posted that? So help me find it.
So for those of you who aren't aware, during Tina's stream, Dream asks Tina to show his POV. AKA, they just swap accounts. So Dream's out there on Tina's account doing parkour and Parkour Warriors. And Tina is playing as Dream, and then somehow, Scott TPs Dream, quote unquote, and Sam to this little interrogation room on the MCC practice server, and they just start role playing freaking the prison on the MCC practice server. There is a chair and everything. And so, like, Dream can't see what's happening, so he's just, like, he's slightly confused.
Okay, I found it. Hey. Apple posted it. Partial transcription of the prison deal roleplay we got on the MCC practice server, because I'm insane and accept lore comes in any form.
Me.
Dream in an exaggerated sad voice, I'm back in jail. This is PTSD for my jail time.
Yeah.
And then sounds like, oh my god, yes, Scott, can I be the warden of this prison? Dream, this is my interrogation. Dream, sit down. Dream, sit down in this at the seat. Dream, this is literally just like the real prison. I'm having deja vu flashbacks right now. What did you do to Tommy, Dream? Nothing. I did nothing. You did nothing? Seems convenient. It would. It is conveniently true. But why did you have me build this entire prison, Dream? What was the point of this prison, Dream? MCC, no gooders.
MCC, you're right.
It's why we had to make it inescapable. It was a good plan, wasn't it? Yes, I convenient that you left out the part. Art, that you put me in charge because you trust me the most. Convenient.
I'm not over that.
I'm going to type my responses in chat instead of saying them out loud because I want to. Fine, Dream, fine. If you want to eat, you could have just said so. Hey, Dream. Tina in chat. Snack, please. Snack? There's no snacks for prisoners. How dare you? Tina in chat, sad face. That's what I thought. Frowny face as expected. Please, Sam. No, Dream, no. No snackies. Only one interrogation for you. And raw potatoes. It's major cheat steak into Tina's inventory. In chat, he has steak. No steak. This is my interrogation room. Oh my god, this is a weird bit you're doing, Dream. Raw potatoes only. Remove these steaks. What is happening here? And Tina switches from a salted steak to one potato. That's better, that's more like it. Remember when I wanted to put the character Dream? Remember that? Yes, kinda. Yeah, and you didn't let me do that because you wanted to do the potatoes again instead. Now you're enjoying those potatoes that you worked so hard for. Dream, why are you doing all this? Because I'm angry. Who are you angry at, Dream? Who and why? You're getting dizzy just remembering how angry you are, Dream, aren't you?
Guess
what? What is this, dude? This is, you don't even remember why you're angry. Sam accuses Dream. You deduct Tina. I'll bring the drugs into the prison and demand that he return them. Scott gave you the drugs in my prison? No, it was in the potato. Maybe, I mean. No, my potatoes are clean. How dare you accuse my potatoes of not being clean? Dream, it's time. Pulls out a diamond sword.
Yeah.
And that's all there is.
Like, Scott.
And yeah, like.
Scott put blindness and then put, like, dizziness on Dream. Not Tina, Dream.
No snackies, only for an interrogation.
My favorite quote.
That's just in the prison arc, just in a nutshell.
Basically, like, yeah, it's not canon, but like, it basically represents what
it's
has
basically
happening.
Like the writers of the story are like writing a crack fan fiction.
It
you
is!
Can still tell.
It is. They're writing a fan fiction of their own work.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But basically, like, how Sam is acting there is, like, based on how he sees character Sam in his head.
Yeah. I feel like it's...
And same with Dream, for the bits that were Dream and not Tina.
Snackies? I feel like it was representative of what character Sam is like in the actual prison lore. Obviously, some parts are a little less... no snackies, only more than interrogation. but like the insistence on how no steak, only potatoes. It's my prison, my potatoes are clean. And you're so angry that you're getting dizzy, aren't you? You don't even know why you're angry. And the whole part where he's like digging into how, remember how I wanted to get the cow cooker for you, Dream, huh? But you insisted on potatoes, which is literally something we hear happening in canon. It's just... Dribbler went crazy. Dribbler started frothing at the mouth.
And also the sword thing.
And the sword thing! What do you mean by it's time, Dream? Why did you fade to Black Bear?
this reminds me of, like, the whole Warden Soulbreaker thing.
I know! I will forever not forgive anyone who's... this is lighthearted, of course. Not forgive anyone who ever said that Sam wasn't fucking beating Dream in that prison. I don't think he ever went in with, like... I don't think in his head he went in with the intention of beating or hurting Dream. I think in his head he went in with the thought of, I am punishing Dream for something he did. Or will do. I think that's how character Sam would see it as. But, like, I do think character Sam got physical with Dream in the prison, even in the early days. And, like, I will never forgive people who say that Sam didn't do anything to Dream that wasn't, like, just plain old neglect or starvation during the prison. The prison drives me nuts. Character Sam drives me nuts. Content creator Sam and his reactions to various character Sam animatics in the prison drive me nuts. We are very normal about this, guys.
Alright, so we've been doing this for about half an hour, so do you want to just finish up? Did we get any answers for the last question of the week?
Did we get any answers? Did we post it?
Did I forget to post it again?
I think we might have forgotten to post it again. Oh yeah, that was like...
Okay, I'm gonna post it in the Discord, and we'll see next week, because I just keep forgetting.
Oh, this is very funny. The last thing that was posted there was like 10 plus days ago, man. Over two weeks ago. That's so sad.
Remember. By the way, anyone listening to this, if you want to join the Discord server, you do have to put down an introduction so we can make you a server member and let you in fully.
Yep. Just to make sure you're not like
just an extra
precaution.
Bot. Yeah.
Verify that you're a real life person. If you look down and you see hands and arms and legs, you are a real life person.
Yeah, like you don't have to say much, it's like name, pronouns, then optional. You can just say like your favorite character or characters, how you got into the Dream SMP, and the like soft motion, like put down your Twitter or whatever if you make art or fanfic.
Yeah, if you want people to know what your socials are, you can put it there. You don't have to.
Yeah, the only real mandatory things are name and pronouns.
Yeah, like what do you want us to call you? How do you want us to refer to you?
But we do appreciate the other ones, especially because it does make it easier to tell if you're a bot or not.
Yep.
Alright, so yeah, that's still.
No.
Alright.
Oh?
Bye. So yeah.
No questions? Oh, are we just re-repeating our previous question of the week?
Yeah, just the last one, like, who do you think's, like, the best political leader on the Dream SMP?
Oh, yep. I still say Schlatt. Schlatt's the best political leader.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards agreeing with that. Although,
Carl,
like I said before, I think Carl is in the running because he just hasn't done much.
But the stuff he's
like,
done
he hasn't
is
done
pretty good.
Really done anything good except for like building Kanoko. But he hasn't done anything bad either. Well, most of the other political leaders have done bad stuff.
Tubbo developed nukes. Tubbo lost a nuke.
I'd say that Tubbo had like the potential to be good, a good leader with Neela Manberg, but the situation just wasn't right for it.
Yeah, he kind of...
Like, if he'd had time and wasn't just thrown immediately into a new crisis, I think he could have done it.
Well, but also...
But he didn't really get that chance.
His cabinet were kind of assholes to him, and his
decision-making. Yes, also the cabinet were assholes.
Yeah.
Alright, bye.
Goodbye!
See ya. Well, thanks for listening to the 32nd episode of Mel here, and we hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topic you'd like to hear us discuss, feel free to leave a comment or find us on Twitter at MelHereHePodcast. You can also ask us questions or just get updates about new episodes. We also have a Discord server that you can find a link to in the description. See you next time!